Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the Ooze.
Looks like you got four big dicks in the room, so who's gonna fucking slap this shit down first?
Basically, and then focus on the problem at hand. You're not dealing with the emotion, you're dealing with the issue.
Richard, it's been a big, long-winded speech to all pack this up today for you gentlemen, but unfortunately, I'm somewhat bankrupt.
Now on to our show.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm T.C. Downey, a.k.a. Beast Zeno, and with me on the line is my co-host Matt, or the Dark Fool. Matt, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing really well, man. I'm ready for today's show. Already, I could tell you today's topic kind of, it's a tricky one, man. It threw me off. I'm excited to see where we're going to be going with this, you know what I mean?
Right on. I thought you had one thing in mind, and you changed your mind, which is all cool, but should be interesting to see if we can roll with the punches. And for the folks who are wondering why my voice maybe sounds a little different, or maybe the call quality is not as good, I decided to try to Skype in today as host rather than call in, mainly because, well, I'm in the process of changing phone providers, and my new phone hasn't quite arrived yet, and the old phone got turned off on time, so I'm a day without communication, it looks like, but I'll get my new number out to everybody that needs it anyway. Now, when you first proposed this, I thought we were going to take a look at LaVey's character and, make an assessment based on his behavior, precisely what angle LaVey was coming from. But you've since come up with a different way that you'd like to take the turn, take the show. And so I'm interested to see how this works out rather than beating up something I've kind of touched on here and there. So,
well, we could still hit on a couple of other topics. I mean, there's so much, there's a matter of different interpretations when it comes to this topic. And the topic is basically what LaVey wrote. One chapter was The Church of Satan, Cosmic Joy Buzzer. And, I mean, yeah, like you said, that could be taken as LaVey's pertinent. Mischievous and a bit awesome, but when I began reading that chapter in The Devil's Notebook, rereading it for the show, I came across something very startling, and I saw that it coincided with other things that he wrote, particularly The Satanic Witch, Chapter 5, Fashion, The Witch's Greatest Friend, and The Witch's Fashion's Worst Enemy. They definitely had something in common, and in short, what they had in common when I started looking at them, for example, the Cosmic Joy Buzzer chapter, LaVey started talking about, different occult movements and how silly they were at the time and how it was appropriate for the Church of Satan to come out and just completely debunk all these things and just, be itself, group of non-joiners, et cetera, all that stuff. But as I was reading, I saw that they had in common with that chapter, within the Satanic Witch, fads and fashion, and how they come along and just try to, get you to buy one thing. And I guess the moral of the story, if I could just cut straight to the quick, is that both of these things, occult movements, philosophies, et cetera, and the thing with fashion is that what they have in common is that they try to sell you something based on the false assumption that there is something wrong. Somebody who's very comfortable with themselves, i.e. Satanists, are more self-actualized and more comfortable with themselves and knows what works with themselves and what works against themselves. And so this kind of false perception that's being sold to you is sold on both sides.
As both sides being...
Well, I mean, both sides being fashion and, you know, occult movements or, you know, philosophies of the day, et cetera.
All right. Yeah, that's reasonable, I suppose. Couple of things that I find interesting, idea of having to have a look to suit your personality. You know, it's kind of like customizing your cell phone to match your personality. You know, I think the first thing that comes in my mind here is the fact that someone who is, I don't know, confident and who they are realizes that, you know, it doesn't matter how you accessorize a piece of shit. A piece of shit is still just that. It doesn't matter if you put a pretty blue coat on it or, you know, spray all kinds of perfume on it. You know, you still got a stinky pile of shit underneath all the drapery that you put on it. So I think that what was important in LaVey's eyes was the development of individual character to be distinguishing rather than, you know, your external drapery.
Right. I would agree with that. And the other thing, too, is that I've noticed that there actually is room, if you really look at the left-hand path, for diversity and to not be actually pigeonholed. Like, for example, nowadays, what's fashionable is like, okay, to be a Satanist is like, you know, wearing all black, you know, listening to metal music, and there's a certain mold that people fit into, and I've seen other Satanists, and I'll go ahead and drop names here, Jason King, he's got like, you know, this, you know, ghetto style thing going for him, and it's actually pretty cool to see, you know, individuals take shape, but, and not fit into a certain mold. Not to say that, there's anything wrong with metal music. I mean, I certainly fit into that stereotype. But, you know, I think, like what you said, people should look more at the individuality aspect than what's fashionable, because that will get you into a trap. And I think that right there is the true Cosmic Joy Buzzer.
Right on. Well, see, I always kind of, and I'm just going to throw this out here real quick, I always kind of thought LaVey wrote the line about the Church of Satan being the Cosmic Joy Buzzer because, you know, in a way, it was just this massive mockery of, sheepism, if I can coin that term. You know, I always kind of thought that, you know, he put the Church of Satan together as kind of a joke, and the people that joined it were his own personal, jesters and fools. You know, he would let them come on in and hang out and, you know, lusk in the greatness of Anton LaVey with all of his rich stories about himself, you know, ones that later on you could assess as being untrue or not having enough evidence to, necessarily prove it or disprove it. You know, I think it's really interesting that he gave himself this entire persona and it created this kind of knockout pattern that we see a lot of people running with, you know, the bald head, the goatee, the...
Nope. And you actually beat me to it, too. I was going to touch on that topic. I mean, it's funny how, you know, he's talking about a group of non-joiners and here they are, you know, and saying we're anti-sycophants, you know, in a nutshell. And then here people are copying Anton LaVey. So, I mean, there's another aspect of the Cosmic Joy Buzzer, which I was actually going to first talk about, but, you know, I saw the deeper meaning to it, and I wanted to address that, too.
Right on. Well, like I said, I think, the whole deal was if you were carrying one of those red cards, you were, you know, privately mocked by LaVey because you were stupid enough to think that you were a non-joiner, but, you know, the term, you know, group of non-joiners, you know, it's kind of an oxymoron if you think about it.
Exactly. In fact, speaking of oxymorons, one came across recently on Facebook where I was talking about, something that happened in the media that caught up. And one of the oxymorons was, I said, oh boy, satanic misconduct. And somebody said, that is the biggest oxymoron I've ever heard. And then I was thinking about that more and how it related to again, the Cosmic Joy Buzzer. Like, that is hilarious.
You know, the thing of it is that you kind of start walking down a slippery slope when you take a look at LeBay's ideas and you try to put them together and say, hey, you know, I agree with these ideas. And at the same point, you know, you kind of got to watch your back and be careful that you're not falling into the very dogmas that he was openly mocking in the first place. You know, fashion or being fashionable, I think, was one of them.
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the reasons, I think, one of the things that this topic is to not...
You totally broke up on me, man. I didn't catch that at all.
I said that that's kind of like the topic of the show, in a sense, is kind of like a warning not to fall into that trap and maybe, in a sense, what to look for.
Right on, right on. Well, this is a discussion edition, so I'd like to, you know, throw it out there early that people can call in 347-989-1371, you know, give us your thoughts on the Cosmic Joy Buzzer and its meaning. You know, I'd really like to have a good discussion get going this morning. I know most of you people have barely got a cup of coffee in your ass and you're wiping the crust out of your eyes because you were drinking all night on webcam in the Sin chat room. But, you know, just a few minutes of contribution would be awesome. Matter of fact, look at that. JK just showed up in the chat room.
Oh, snap.
Yep. Mr. King, if you got some thoughts on all this shit, and I'm sure you do, feel free to call in, man. We haven't had you on the air in a while. So, needless to say, I mean, let me see. What was something that we haven't contended with yet that you made in terms of a statement or a point in your opening view of this?
Well, so far, I mean, we briefly discussed... you know, what the Cosmic Joy Buzzer was, what it has in common with, you know, in the Satanic Witch with fashion, whether it's philosophy of the day, whether it's fashion of the day, you know, like styles of clothing, music, etc. And then you brought it even further with, you know, LeVay's character and how he used that to kind of like, in a strange way, exploit some of his quote-unquote non-followers, which was funny. So, I mean, any other topic would be great. I've got a couple of quotes here. I don't want to completely take up the airtime like I did in the last shows, but a couple looks at how these two kind of relate.
Right on. Right on. So go ahead with the quotes, man. I mean, we're waiting. Dan Dredd said he's going to be dialing in, and I'm sure if we rash chicken wings enough, he'll pick up the phone. So we're going to get some callers, no problem. So get whatever you need to get out there.
Okay, well, stop me anytime you hear a call, okay?
All right,
so another portion that I bold and highlighted for my own notes. Yes, which was actually in the Joy Buzzer chapter. Yes, the occult movement has provided countless persons with delusions of adequacy. So another aspect right there is when, you know, you get the philosophy of the day and you get people that are well-known within this philosophy saying, oh, you know, they're feeling empowered, but it's also a sense of false empowerment.
Right. And what do you think is making them feel empowered with it, and why do you think it's a false empowerment?
Well, one of the ways I feel that they think they're empowered is that they're getting validation from other people within their clique. You know, I mean, they've accepted with certain aspects, like they've accepted that there's something wrong with them. Like, let's take white light movements. Like, 9 times out of 10, you're going to hear, oh, you know, okay, Christianity is the easiest one to pick on. You know, there's something wrong with you because a group ate, you know, this man and this woman ate from a forbidden tree aeons ago, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so there's a problem within man's nature. So you have to repent, and you have to do all sorts of things in order to clear yourself of that debt. And it's like, well, who said that I have to accept that debt in the first place? If there is, if it even exists, you know what I mean?
Right, I agree. So the initial idea is that you're flawed from the beginning, and while you don't agree with that, I mean, I don't either. I think, you know, we all start off with certain things that maybe will inhibit our growing, but in terms of, you know, actually there being something wrong with us, unless you have some kind of a physical deformity, it's a blank slate at that point.
Well, and it's so ambiguous sometimes and so open to interpretation, particularly with occult movements. They could say, oh, your aura is out of line. You know, you need to realign your chakras. I happen to have this snake oil that will help you.
All right, I got you. Okay. I mean, I don't have any argument against that. What is it that you think gives the false sense of empowerment that you were talking about?
Well, once somebody has accepted that paradigm and has kind of, quote-unquote, moved up the ranks, you know, whatever system they have laid out, like let's take Scientology as an example, somebody who becomes one of the heads of Scientology or one of the movers and shakers is then all of a sudden, you know, adequate because he's validated from other Scientologists. So that sense of empowerment comes from being the top dog of that particular niche.
Okay. But, I mean, just to some sense, these people have completed, you know, whatever they needed to complete to move along the ladder. So that sense of empowerment's not necessarily false. It's just false outside of their paradigm. That I'm not seeing a strong argument here. I mean, when you say false sense of empowerment, I'm thinking about somebody who, you know, woke up from their single wide trailer in Mississippi and then popped on a website, wrote out some bullshit on a forum post, and then claimed that they handed somebody their ass when they came nowhere close to that. That's a false sense of empowerment. That's believing that just because you said you pwned somebody, they're pwned. It doesn't quite fucking work that way. But you know.
But there's the other side of that too. Is if somebody's in, let's say they have a backing, like I said before, they could automatically think that because of their false sense of security. Now, okay, we see, like, for example, let's take Venom Fang X, for example. I mean, he's got a lot of Christians backing him, but a lot of atheists and et al. And others look at him like he's a joke.
Right, I understand what you're saying, but again, just because it's false outside of his paradigm doesn't mean that within his paradigm he's not rising to the, you know, he's not rising to the level that's expected for him to claim the prestige that he's claiming. I could see a false sense of empowerment happening if he was to go outside of his paradigm and then claim that same empowerment. But within his respected paradigm, there's nothing wrong with that, so.
Okay. Well,
You get what I'm saying, man?
I do.
Yeah,
so
I
you're
mean,
saying, well, to summarize, you're saying that within his niche, he's got some empowerment, some title, and outside of it, though, he does not. Now, you know, but still, in a sense, he is doing what you said. With somebody who just says, you know, I pwned you, when in fact, in a different perspective, that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
You know, what may win for one may not win for another. And so,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you take things in a broad spectrum of the sense, I suppose, you know, you can't call it a false sense of security, but you know, when you get down to someone's respective frame of mind, you know, the person I was mentioning coming out of their single wide trailer in Mississippi, you know, in
right.
their mind, you know, they have completed this pwn. It's not until, you know, they step outside of their own little box and look at what's really going on in the world that they'll realize that they've got this false sense of, go ahead.
But see, that person, and I know who you're talking about. If you don't want to mention names, that's fine. But that person also has friends that subscribe to them. So maybe they're validated in a false sense of security just by other people that say, yeah, you're right.
No, I don't really think so, but
they do. Actually, I have. I know a few that have supported them in the past.
Right, but having supported them and being behind them 100% in everything that they say or believe are two different things, and I don't see much of that happening.
Well, see, yeah, you and I don't see that, but I'm saying their false senses, their false perceptions do that.
All right, I mean, I guess we're really arguing a point that's in a way, because, from one perspective, it can be valid, and from another perspective, it's utter bullshit. So I guess if you get right down to the objective truth of it, what's going on in the real world, then, yeah, you're absolutely right. It is a false sense of empowerment. But let's see. Here we go. I'm going to check the chat room real quick. We've got... y'all are typing way too much shit for me to read this early in the day. I just got done with like a 200 fucking mile trip. And
wow.
Yeah, well, I do it every Saturday and every alternating Tuesday and Wednesday. I drive down about 200 miles round trip and pick up and drop off my kids. So it's usually afterwards I'm a little bit frazzled dealing with all the Tampa traffic. I mean, I've never seen a larger cluster of morons gather in one area.
And you know what? Speaking of that, it's a good segue. Going back to the Cosmic Joy Buzzer, well, they wrote, again, paraphrasing, I won't read the whole thing, in his chapter, The Cosmic Joy Buzzer, is in particular, talking about the occult, when the occult, the hidden, becomes fashionable, it's no longer occult. It's no longer hidden knowledge. And he says, yet, there will always be a dark side. What do you suppose he means by that?
That there will always be a dark side?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's pretty obvious. There's always going to be shit that you don't like. There's always going to be things that you demonize in your mind as being evil.
Uh-huh.
That's to me, and summarizes it perfectly. There's always going to be an opposition.
Exactly, and that's what I see the Satan being the opposite.
You broke up again on me, man.
You think it's on my end, my phone?
No, I don't. I think it's probably a Skype issue. It may be
in opposition, and always will be in opposition in a sense, and find favorable, traits in that opposition.
Right. I can't disagree with that, I don't think. Okay. If you are, Tim's hardcore saying that you are breaking up, so it is on your end after all.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me try calling back in, okay?
Sounds fine to me.
Okay.
All right. In the meantime, again, I'll throw out the call-in number, 347-989-1371. This is the Ooze Discussion Edition. It helps if there's a discussion outside of me and Dark Fool for, obvious reasons. So 347-989-1371, your thoughts on what LaVey meant by the Cosmic Joy Buzzer was, I'm almost inclined to think the whole thing was a gag in a sense. There we go. All right, Dark Fool, you're back on the air.
All right, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, you're clear.
Okay, good. Anyways, what I was saying before when I broke up was, the Satanist finds, should be always in opposition and in that opposition find favorable traits.
That's your personal statement, or you're paraphrasing something LaVey said?
A bit of both, in a sense.
Well, the only problem that I have there with that is when you figure something out in your mind and it's the right way to go with it, you know, you can then go for the opposite of it, but that's still going to be a fail every time. It's still going to lead you to the same conclusion. So ultimately, you're just kind of playing your own little circle jerk. We got, it looks like Jason King on the phone. Chicken Wing. JK?
Say no. What?
Yeah, it is.
Is hey. It really? Is it me?
I think so.
I don't even know when it's me anymore.
How's things going, man?
What's up, Darfool, man?
Long time.
How's shit hanging? Hopefully deep.
Yeah, 50-50.
Not even sure what to really think about that, guys.
What?
I'm just kidding. How you doing, man?
It's all good. Actually, I wanted Dan Dredd to have 7 minutes before I came in, but then you had the phone problems with Darkfool a little bit there, so that's when I called in, but then he got reconnected, and so don't want to piss on anybody's party here.
Not pissing on anybody's party, man. This is what
I'll piss on everybody's party. You know how I roll, dude.
That's right. That's
no,
right.
But anyway, so what's the question at hand here? It's what did Anton LaVey mean by the cosmic joy buzzer?
Yep.
I think that was kind of straightforward in the sense that what he was talking about was pissing on the party. The party being, you know, the status quo or, you know, organized religion, what have you. Cosmic joy buzzer. Joy buzzer is one of those things where it's like stuck to your hand and you go to shake somebody's hand and, oh, you're buzzed or what have you. You know what I mean? I don't really think there's any more. Anton LaVey, a lot of people want to, deepen him out, like think that he had a lot more depth to offer than he really did.
Well, he and did, in some he did senses, the same thing with himself and his persona.
Well, you know, in some senses he was deep. In some thoughts he was deep. Like, for example, the what was it? The fuck, I'm drawing a blank here, and this it's on live fucking radio, so this sucks. But the deal where he was talking about the weird angles of, like, you know, haunted houses and shit like that, and I think it was published actually in the Devil's Notebook.
Also,
that
like
was
the,
one of I
the trapezoid, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like the, you know, the bent angles and things like that. Like they're not 90 degrees. I think that was one of his best contributions. I think a lot of where he comes best is with stuff like that, and not necessarily with when he's trying to, you know, for example, wax philosophical, because I don't really think of him as a philosopher. I think of him as more of a mundane thinker, a practical thinker, which is not necessarily bad, but
maybe that's a good topic for another show. I'll keep that under my hat.
Hat? You do have a hat, don't you?
Yeah,
I do.
I do,
but whatever. I have a hat. It ain't the fool's hat, but
no. Nope. It says polo on it. Is that like polo as in like chicken for chicken wings?
Say what?
It's polo. Is that like polo as in chicken? Like chicken wings?
What?
Or am I drawing too much connections with all this monster and coffee going in my brain?
Are you pooping, Michael?
I think he's just trying to make some kind of a coherent connection to anything you're saying, Dark Fool.
Okay. But anyways, I'm saying before is that maybe we can use that as another topic for another show, the angle, and explore that a bit more.
Right on. That's definitely up on the board, or we can talk about it a little now. This, the whole show really is about LeVay. So, yeah. I mean, I'm inclined, actually, to sort of think that LeVay's practicality was because he was a deeper thinker and had more of like a Dan Dredd type mindset, where he just kind of wanted to clear away all the additional bullshit, you know, except for when it came time for his little circus performances, which were almost always sleight of hand tricks, from what I can tell.
I would actually slightly disagree with that.
I was kind of hoping you would.
You were hoping I would?
Yeah.
I think Anton LaVey really was a master of both worlds, although he was, it's kind of like one of these jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none deal. I'm going to say he was a jack of both worlds or anything like that. I think he was a master of both worlds, but he was not an... And here's where I'm going to go suck Venger's... What? Never mind. He was not an ipsissimus of either, or he was not his utmost self. That's the meaning of the word, and I'm sure Venger knows the meaning of the word literally, but doesn't know it within him, his utmost self, which is why I found that whole thing to be the complete irony of everything that he's ever done. I mean, that was like the icing on the cake of the Venger, like the silly party with that motherfucker. But anyway, I know this is not Barry Venger day today on the ooze. I mean, because it could be, but it doesn't need to be. No, but the point is that LaVey understood these things, I think, both sides. I think he did understand what he was doing to a degree with, you know, his materialism, but he also had, I think he had a higher vision. And I think he had a high enough vision that enough of the people that were aligned with him initially broke away from him to form the Temple of Set. I mean, just the existence of the Temple of Set, and I really don't give that whole thing a whole lot of credence, but the fact that it exists just means that there were enough people that were initially aligned with him and initially listened to his vision, thought he had a different kind of a vision than it turned out that he had. And maybe nobody understood what the fuck he was talking about. Maybe he was one of those weirdos talking to himself in the closet that nobody understood but himself. You know what I mean? That can happen. Like, it happens with me all the fucking time. You know what I mean?
Actually,
where the fuck is Dan Dredd, goddammit?
Probably enjoying this whole deal. I'm actually under the impression that what you're describing reminds me of somebody I recently parted ways with. Yeah.
You know, my problem is I always name names. Like, so for example, early on in the show, you were burying Ken Pruitt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Okay. Let's name names. Now at this point, who are you burying?
I'm burying Venger Satanus.
I buried him 5 seconds ago. What the fuck are you doing? Dude, you can't bury somebody I just fucking buried.
I'm digging
with
it
the Ipsissimus shit.
Man.
But anyway, I mean, no, dude, name names and let's get shit out there, dude. I mean, fuck it.
Yeah, well, I usually do, man.
We're all either friends or enemies, dude, and the best of us are friends. And that's the way I see it. The best of us are friends. The best of us get along together.
And friends kick each other's asses from time to time.
And exactly, Darkfold, exactly. You handed me my ass halfway a while back in video. It was an awesome fucking like partnership video that you did on me.
Thank you.
Why, obviously, I guess there was no response to that. Did I think I was completely pwned? Not really. I mean, if I really wanted to come back from it, I could have. But I like the way you clipped me and fuck with me the way you did. And so I said, you know what? This dude has the last word on this. And that's the way we roll, man. And I don't think any less of you for that. I actually think more of you for that. That's the way we roll.
Speaking of pwned, we've now got Dan Dredd on the line as well.
Cool.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Doc?
Double D. Usually I prefer those in titties, but whatever.
So I missed the last 5 minutes or so. I have no idea where you're at.
Oh, we were poning Venger Satanus and...
the mighty tentacle.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Mighty tentacle and large breasts, and that's the Cthulhu cult.
Well, that's been done to death. Anything else that we can do that's more fun than owning Venger? That's like kicking a retarded baby a little bit, isn't it?
Well, then let's move on to Kenny Pruitt.
Oh, that's even worse, dude. Don't even bother with that shit.
I don't know who that is, so I got nothing to say on that.
Because, see, here's what I fall with Ken Pruitt. I mean, he's a smart kid, but if he wants to really come up with his shit, he should come up with it face up. And until he does, I consider him a friend, but at the same time, he's got to handle his business the way he needs to handle it and whatever. So the topic at hand, I believe, was LaVey.
LaVey, the Cosmic Joy Buzzer. And
the Cosmic Joy Buzzer. What does he mean by that? What does he mean when he says that Satanism is the Cosmic Joy Buzzer?
Oh, I think he was talking about himself and the Church of Satan as like a sort of iconoclastic force that was causing, you know, mainstream Christianity of the 60s to be horrified. You know, so that's kind of what I got out of that.
No, actually, I totally agree with that. I think that's exactly right. That's exactly what he meant it to be, but it's still reactionary, though, don't you think?
Well,
very much
not the 60s anymore.
Very much so.
You know? Maybe being reactionary in the 60s when there was no satanic current to be spoken of, it kind of had to break out, and I think that's why he used all the showmanship that he did.
But the phrase, the Cosmic Joy Buzzer, actually, that doesn't appear in the Satanic Bible. It appears later on, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm not the biggest LaVey.
The Devil's Notebook, I think it was in. Fuck, I haven't read that one in a long time.
Yeah, that's kind of late, actually. That was printed maybe in the 90s, right?
Oh, yeah,
don't make me pull it off
point.
My bookshelf. I'll pull it off
that's
my bookshelf
point.
If I have to, but...
Actually, I got it right here. Give me a few seconds.
Right, he's got to find where the date is on the cover.
That's right.
Well, actually, because the Devil's Notebook, actually, believe it or not, was a reprint of a lot of stuff that was printed earlier on in the Cloven Hoof. So some of those articles might have been older than they appear by the copyright date of the Devil's Notebook. In other words.
Honestly, I never got a lot of value out of much of LaVey's stuff beyond the Satanic Bible. That's all the roots you really need to develop your own Satanism, in my opinion. But I'm not the big LaVey groupie that a lot of people are.
Oh, me neither. Like I've said before, he was a doorman to me. I mean, he opened the door.
Well,
he showed
in my mind,
me...
he put his finger on the current, and he's like, this is what it is. But he wasn't like, that doesn't make him it just makes him like a guy that noticed it. You know, like
exactly.
Another Satanist.
Exactly.
And he put together his own thing, the Church of Satan, and it was really really successful. And you got to admire him for that, but that doesn't put him like in any position to be, you know, worshipped or put on a pedestal in any way, any more than you or myself or anyone else that does
exactly.
Anything with Satanism.
Exactly.
Egg fucking exactly.
And there's some people, like, within Satanism that are copying exactly his style. You know, the whole 1930s car and the whole, you know, like, film noir gangster and all that shit, you know. And, of course, you know, you see the shaved heads and the goatees everywhere, and it's I find that hilarious. I find that another aspect of the Joy Buzzer worth examining.
Well, there's so many believers in the world. Some of them are bound to end up here, you know what I'm saying? A large segment of the population is wired to disbelieve. They want to believe something. And some of them end up in cults of personality, like take the Church of Satan modern day. It's basically just a LaVey fan club where they will, like, if they hear that LaVey liked eating hamburgers on Saturday, that'll become, you know, the thing that they have to do because LaVey did it. Or they'll go out and buy a zoot suit because LaVey wore one. Or they won't wear any deodorant because they figure that, you know, it worked for LaVey, it'll work for me. And that's the way it must be done. But I don't know. I think that's taking it like several steps too far.
See, that's kind of what I actually think LaVey meant by calling the Church of Satan Cosmic Joy Buzzer, is that he kind of knew that that was what was going to happen. And, you know, it tickled him pink. In the same fashion that Venger gets off by calling himself the Ipsimus, or how the fuck you say that bullshit.
Ipsimus.
I don't really care. but I think that by, you know, proclaiming yourself a thing of worship and then people actually worshiping, I mean, and I'm not necessarily saying that that's what LaVey did. Rather, LaVey claimed himself to be the bad guy, and you know, the people who all wanted to, you know, hang around and be like the bad guy, you know, the yes men came chomping over to pay their money for their red card.
You know who the first guy to proclaim himself in the Ipsimus was?
Crowley, actually.
Crowley?
Well, it was Crowley, but he wasn't pretentious about it. And take this all with a grain of salt, but Michael Aquino.
Oh, I'm
sorry, Aquino proclaimed himself an Ipsimus.
Very
the interesting thing, though, has anybody ever read? I mean, I'm sure we have a lot of heads in the room here. We have four serious heads in the room here. Have any of you four heads? I mean, well, three. There's three besides me. Read the actual Book of Coming Forth by Night.
Yep.
And what he said in that was he demoted Anton LaVey to the status of a daemon. Do you get that? Do you know what that was? What he was saying with that when he said that?
Well, basically, he was grabbing the authority. He's like, okay,
well,
no,
he was
listen,
grabbing the authority
to me
by
and told
other
me.
Means, but by promoting. Or demoting, and I look at it as demoting because of the way that he did it, but he demoted or promoted. The way he wrote it was that he was promoting, but Anton LaVey to the status of a daemon.
Well, he kind of took your approach of the doorman, JK. He kind of said, well, you know, Anton LaVey was important in this sense, but he opened the door for me. You know?
Yeah,
the temple was set. Well, not for him personally, but for the Temple of Set and for other understandings to come forward.
No, it was for him personally. I know Aquino. He built it as the same reason that everyone builds their little cults, so people will fucking give them the admiration that they think they deserve. That's really all it ever boils down to.
Yeah, I got to agree with Dan.
Well, I agree with Dan just because he finished my sentence. Whatever, dude.
Funny. So, how's the sound quality for you guys with me on Skype?
You sound fine.
You're on Skype. Oh, you're freeloading? Fuck you, man.
No, I'm actually I'm thinking about doing the show like this from here on out. It makes it a lot easier for me to understand accents like our boy Dan here. Sometimes I can't understand what the hell he's saying because his accent's so thick.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, well, that's an interesting point of view.
I've never had trouble deciphering Dan. I've had trouble deciphering a certain drunk individual that shall not be named.
Exactly.
For reasons of anonymity and all that kind of shit.
Now, wait a minute.
That guy's on the phone right now? Are you kidding me?
You just said earlier.
Fuck that dude,
like,
man.
Let's drop names. And then you're like, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I'm not referring to.
No, what I do get, though, is a little bit of, there's a break about every, you know, it's quick. I don't even almost notice it other than I was asked to notice it. There's a little bit of a break there in your delivery. It's not very, you know, pressing or anything like that, but I do notice it.
I just wanted to make a quick point so Dan understood. I'm hard of hearing, so it's difficult for me. I have to really focus, period, to hear. So.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I have a 75% hearing loss in my left ear and a 55% hearing loss in my right ear I've had since birth.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say too many metal concerts, but since birth, huh? All right.
Yeah, the first two things I ever hear about it are too many metal concerts, and the next thing when they find out in the industry is you were standing too close to the fireworks, huh? So,
fair enough.
Right, but no, I had spinal meningitis as a baby, nerve damage, you know, that whole nine yards.
All right, well, I'll try to speak up there, old-timer.
Yeah.
Old-timer. Hilarious.
I am actually your senior by a little bit, aren't I?
8 months
Dude,
or something.
Dude, this brought you nickel ear.
What?
What?
The audience goes deaf.
Can you speak up, Sonny?
Excuse me?
That's awesome. Do you guys got anything else to say on LaVey before we just turn the rest of the show into, hey, it's great to see you guys?
Okay, well, actually, getting back to, all right, what do you guys think of Joy Buck? That fifth chapter, Fashion the Witch's Greatest Friend and the Witch Fashion's Worst Enemy. If you guys recall that one.
Say that again?
I didn't get that either.
Fashion, the Witch's Greatest Friend and the Witch's Fashion's Worst Enemy. You guys remember that chapter from this, the Satanic Witch?
You broke up twice. I don't mean to sound like I'm being a total dick here, but you broke up twice. Can you? I got it from the Satanic Witch, and it was something with somebody's best friend or something like that. Help me out more.
Hey. Fail.
Yeah.
What? No, seriously. I mean, help me out. Pwn me. I don't get it. I don't get what that quote was to. He said it was something in the Satanic Witch. What?
He dropped off the phone, so I'm guessing he's just having trouble with the other cell phone, too. One of the benefits of Skype, I guess. And having a landline phone, right, JK?
Well, it is landline, I guess you would say, yeah.
I mean, you got the cordless deal going, but you're still hard-lined in rather than trying to ping off satellites, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Right on. Well, until he decides to call back in, we got 12 minutes. What's been on YouTube, gentlemen's mind?
You know what? I'm gonna do a funny thing, and I don't normally do this. I'm gonna ask a question like point blank. This is like a balls out question. Nobody does shit like this. Dan, are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, cool. I'm gonna ask you a dumb question.
All right.
Why does it appear to me that you prefer to post on Satanic International Network as opposed to 600 Club, where you have status? You have status on 600. You don't have status on Satanic International. Why do you appear to prefer to post on, lately anyway, on Satanic International?
A broader spectrum of opinions. I know everyone at 600. Okay. I've been there for years. It's all the same dudes. I know what they all think about everything. So I don't really need to ask, you know, I already know where every discussion is going to go. There's a few new people, and they're all from here. All the ones that are of any worth. There's you, there's Beast, there's even a Dead Idea has been putting some good stuff out there.
Dead Idea got shit-canned initially, and the reason for that will remain private, but Taruk is a fucking mind, dude. He's a mind.
Yeah, once you can get through his communication style, he's got a lot of good things to say. And he has been sharpening up his game that way, too, lately. I've really noticed.
He will always. he understands the current. He understands sharpening the blade. He gets it. Believe me.
Yeah, I like that kid. I do.
He is probably my first student that I would call a student. But anyway, I get it. I mean, you got old heads here and young heads over here, and so yeah, I get it.
Well, it's not just that. It's that I already know like all the idea refining I can do over there, I've done. You know, like not all of it, but here I'm gonna encounter new opinions and new ways to bounce my ideas around. You know, at least I'm hoping to, because there's a lot.
The auto-dialogue method, right?
Yeah, there's a lot bigger of a user base here, right? So it's more effective to dip into the bigger pool.
I like the use of pronouns here. Or is that a pronoun? Or is that a... What the fuck
here.
Is here?
Well, I guess
as
here...
As a part of speech. What is here as a part of speech?
Here is there without a T.
When I say here, it's because this particular group, the ooze, is all associated with sin, right? So I say here, I say I'm talking about sin.
Okay, no, I mean, I'm just meaning, because, you know, there's 40 and slips every now and then, I would say. I don't know. I'm just wondering. I love you, man, and I like 600. I like the heavy exchange. I like the fact that there's a heavy exchange, but at the same time, it seems to me that a lot of people are kind of... I really hate to use this word. I really do. Pretentious and fucking like I don't. Here's the funny thing. Like every day when I go and I check the forums, there's a forum that's locked and it's called the 600 Club. Ironically
yeah.
enough, and
the back rooms.
Okay. Now there are little posts on those forums that you can see. Even though you can't see the posts in the forums, you can see the name of the post.
Uh-huh.
And there are things like Death Watch. Death Watch. What does that mean? Okay.
Now,
see, I'm not a dumb
buddy.
Motherfucker, so I get a lot of what's being done here, and I know what's being done here. I know a lot of what's being talked about here, and I know that certain things are being discussed and certain people are being discussed, and I get it. Okay? But don't think I'm an idiot on that
Nobody
regard.
Nobody thinks you're an idiot, I don't think. There's probably a few people out there that do, but they're probably just haters.
Well, if anybody thinks I'm an idiot, they have my YouTube, they have my fucking email, they have my... they can reach me there. They can reach me anywhere. You know what I mean? It's like here, there, anywhere. I don't want to sound like the fucking Dr. Seuss, but that's what it is. I mean, I put a face on my shit, at least. I put a face on my shit.
Hey, guys, am I on?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay, good. Just checking.
And how many people put a face on their shit? I mean, I get it. Fist is like he's a boxer, or he's in the Marine Corps and he's killed people, and like he's uber like strong, like I can beat you down type. Okay,
Fist
I get
is a character,
that.
Man,
okay,
sure.
Morgan is like I'm a. You know what? Because this might go out over the air. Fuck it. Morgan is I'm a pissy bitch. I'm on my period 24/7. Fuck you, you know what I mean? I'm gonna use my strong hand against you whenever I can. Fuck it. And Michael Aquino is who he is, and we all know who he is. Good or bad, ugly, whatever. Let me think of some other guys. Diavolo is the only reason that I'm still on 600. Is
that
only
guy's,
because
quite the brain. Sorry.
Say it again.
I said, that guy is quite the brain, man. He's he and I have had many, many discussions about many, many things. Let's put it that way.
He is the only reason I'm still there, is because I've enjoyed exchange with him. He is definitely a brilliant mind. The most brilliant of the blue, green, purple, red, whatever the fuck y'all call it, that you have. That I've exchanged with. I mean, him, I look at him in the same degree that I look at Mindfucks. I don't know if you know who Mindfucks is.
Oh, yeah, I know who Mindfucks is.
He just joined 600. Same kind of guy. A guy that if somebody can really challenge me in thought, they earn my respect immediately. It's just like that. I mean, I know this ain't the JK fucking show. What the fuck? It's 154. I mean, shit. This is a show. We got to do a show here.
Well, actually, you know, you brought this. You kind of brought it back to the topic. If I can just steer the bull by the horns here.
Do it.
Individuals. You're talking about individuals within Satanism and what makes them individuals, as opposed to just a style. You know. And I actually brought you up, JK, earlier on in the show. I was saying the typical standard is somebody wearing like black and listening to metal and all that kind of shit. But you know, the uniqueness of what you bring to the table is like you bring in that like gangster edge. You know what I'm saying? You know what
I know what you're saying, dude. And I wear the Superman underwear and everything else, dude. I'll do it all, dude.
Exactly. And see, things like that. Like we're talking about individuals and people. You know what makes them. You know, separates them as individuals, the way they think, and I think that's the core that needs to be focused on.
Well, of course, it's I don't think anybody disagrees with that, though. I think we all understand this inner, you know, development of. Well, we don't have very long, so I'm not going to chew up the time here with like my monologue. So somebody else talk.
Quite all right, man. But you know what? I got to be honest with you. There was a group. I'm not going to mention names, but there is a group that I'm involved with on Facebook where I see a lot of people not being individual. They get into that what you call the circle jerk mentality. You know, on the Hail Satan video you did. You know, and they're talking like satanic lingo and you know other groups that I've known go by like you know Father Satan. It's like, dude. You know, total herd mentality, but again, disguised as left-hand path.
Well, we all know who those people are. Anybody that calls it Father Satan, I've only heard two.
Joy of fucking Satan.
Exactly. There was actually one other guy that's actually a person that I respect a great deal, and I don't know if he's ever been around any one of y'all, but it's a guy that goes by the name of Augustus. He goes by the name of Nums. Praetorian at or whatever. If you've never encountered this guy, he reminds me a lot of Dan Dredd in the sense that he's a no bullshit kind of guy. He's a guy that handles his business. He's a guy that is very successful in the real world. Very Levan, but also post Levan. He's also a racist motherfucker. And you know, I've had exchanges with him on a lot of different things. But the bottom line of it is that, you know, I can recognize a brother even if I don't see eye to eye with him on everything. I can see that base instinct to push past.
Yeah,
and
the raw materials.
He actually, I talked to him on the phone. He actually said over and over again, Father. Father told me this. Father did this. Father did that. But I know this is a guy that he's actually fucking successful as all hell in real life. But he was saying that. That's his interpretation of the current. And what I call the current, what I call the master, I mean, people ridicule me for calling the master the master. They say, oh, you're a master, that means you're a slave. Oh, you're a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? I get it, okay? You have lenses, eyes to see with, and you see one thing, you don't see exactly what the other person is seeing. What I'm trying to say is that I've met people that have actually used retarded language to describe something that A, was significant, meaning that it was the current, and B, was useful to them, meaning that they drove financial success out of that. So what the fuck ever, and that's kind of like a little twist on the Joy Sitchin thing, because yeah, I think those people are fucking like retards.
Well, really, what you're talking about is just two forms. Like the form isn't important. You can use whatever form you want, so you can look at Satan however you want. It's just a matter of you can tap into the substance underneath the form, whether or not you choose to use the word Lucifer or Master or just abstain from those sorts of words as I do. It really doesn't matter as long as you're dealing in the substance itself.
But what you're saying is you can see the interpretation line up.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. You're looking at the same thing in a different way, right?
We've got about 20 seconds left on the show, guys. It was awesome. Good spot to end it on. Thank everyone for calling in. And tune in tomorrow night for our Outbreak edition.
All right. Don't be talking about no deviant sex, man. Fuck that shit. Nobody wants to do that shit, all right? I'm kidding. Kidding. Tune in. Talk about jerking off in your bedroom while you got some, like, weird bitch with, like, a fucking, like, thing in her mouth watching you.
That thing is a tentacle.
A tentacle, exactly. I'm fucking with you, dude.
I hear
Sorry
you, man.
For doing that, dude.
Oh, it's all good, bro.
But you know how I roll, man.
Good to hear from you, dude.
All drunk all the time. Yeah, you too, dude. I mean, you got my number, man. Hit me up anytime you want. You know my hour.
Yeah,
thing.
Just not New Year's, right?
Not New Year's 3 a.m. while my wife and kids are asleep.
Okay.
I forgot about that till you fucking reminded me.
I know. I'm a dick.
It's all good.
All right.
I'm going to go. I got a little bit of smacking to do. I don't know if I should even bother doing it, so.
Do it.
Don't do it. Actually,
do
I'm
it.
Saying, because I think I know who he's talking about. Don't do it. He thrives off of tension. Don't do it.
Was that the economic Satanist guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I agree with him a lot when it comes to politics, but as soon as politics stops, that's where my agreeing stops, too. That's what
right.
I found.
Well, yeah. You know,
he's a good kid, but at the same time, he fucks up.
Yeah,
yep.
Well, he fucked up real bad, man, so I'll debate
on. Did he
on.
Do something else? Did he drop another poop? I know we're off the air here. We're after the time, but right?
Yeah. He basically, he's saying it's not him that's got your cock in his mouth, it's me. And, I mean, he pretty much doesn't even say anything that would prove that. Otherwise, you know, I pointed out that he ripped your Killing Jokers in Reverse thing straight off.
I gave him shit on that personally, and I mean, I think he tried to defend that to me. I don't even know if he did. I told him it was classless, but you know that other people will judge him, and that's going to have to be what it is with that. It is, obviously, as everybody understands, it is JK flip the K to the J, that's Killing Jokers. That's what it is. It is definitely what everybody understands to be, except perhaps that motherfucker. I don't know. So, I consider him a friend. So, at the same time, you know, I get along with him. I have nice conversations with him. We have heated exchanges sometimes, especially on the question of universal health care, which I'm for and he's against. That would maybe make an interesting conversation between myself and, say, perhaps any one of y'all. But whatever, you know.
Well, I got a little bit for you still, but it probably won't get done until tomorrow sometime.
I'm asking, why waste your time on dude? I mean, he's just looking to make
well,
a name.
You know what? I think the more that we give attention, it's like Paul Valentine. It's exactly like
exactly.
that, only in a different form, though. I mean, what has to be done is that people need to stop giving him the attention so that he can learn to look from within, not from without.
My position is you give attention to points. You don't give attention to people. Meaning, if somebody makes a point, it doesn't matter
exactly.
who the fuck is. It
yeah,
could be some new
reward good
kid
behavior.
On the block. Makes an awesome point. That's how I first found out Mindfucks. I mean, Mindfucks, I don't even know who this dude is. But he engaged me one day, and I was like, dude, this dude is brilliant.
Yeah, he sure is, man.
And well,
you
know, I was like, wow. I
nice
can learn from this
new.
Motherfucker. I want to engage this motherfucker every chance I get. Exchange with this motherfucker every chance I get. That's how you find out somebody is, you know, they drop that bomb on you and you're like, whoa. If this
yeah.
dude didn't drop a bomb on you that made you go, whoa, then what the fuck are you worrying about it for? Kill it?
or ignore it. That those are your two choices. And if you can't kill it, ignore it. And you know, Darfool especially, you know, that you can't kill this motherfucking point that this dude is making just because, not because it's a point, but because of who the guy is. Because you know who he is, so you have that advantage over him. So
exactly.
You might as well just say, well, fuck it.
Well, you know what you can do is you can reward good behavior. Like, let's say he comes out with a really good video, and you tell him, hey, that was a good video, and then he comes out with one that basically takes shit all over everything. You just pay it no mind.
He's a pretty smart kid, but I think he fails on a lot of levels just because, well, hey, he's a quote-unquote anarchist that lives off a government subsidy. So, yeah, I've tried to tell him that you can never win that argument, no matter if you can beat me in every argument that you think you beat me in. Not that he has, but just if you did, I could still come back and say, you're getting a government check every month. What the fuck is up with this anarchy bullshit that you're arguing?
See, because right. I agree with him on that, man. I also call myself a market anarchist, although it's just like sort of an emotional attachment to a theory that I know is never going to come about. I still can manifest in this world just fine, but I like the ideas. I like the ideas, but I am, you know, I draw my own income from my own sweat, right? So I can have that position. And
exactly, me too. That's exactly what I've tried to tell him, is that, you know.
Well, if all else fails, we could tell him to do gardening videos.
Well, no, that's reserved. Okay, look, what did we do? About a year ago, we put Paul Valentine in his garden, and we sat him down, and we put him there, okay? And that's where he's at. He's the guy in the garden. That's where he's at, okay?
Scooping up rabbit poop.
Right on. Well, guys, I got to jump off of here. I got a bunch of shit I need to do, but it's been good. All right.
All right, see you around.
All right.
Talk to everybody later.
Later on, man.
So, can the rest of us keep talking to each other or no?
Yeah, we're off air, I think. I think this is going to keep recording.
Yeah, no. That's what I thought. I shouldn't know.
Once I get off the phone, it's not going to anymore.
Okay.
Oh, you're the killer. No, I'm just kidding. Well, all right, dude, it's been cool all the ways around, bros. All your right,
bros. All right, you guys be good.
See you next 100 years.